Attention, attention everyone. This is Allie, and you're listening to Damage 365 Radio.
Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee is America's iced coffee. It's rich, smooth, always freshly brewed. Dunkin' has all the flavors you love. Also available in butter pecan and new coconut cream pie iced coffee flavors. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts' new fruited iced teas are made with real fruit juice and fruit pieces. Try a mango, pineapple, or blackberry today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
It's the only long wrestling podcast with the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
Welcome to yet another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your hosts. I am the Enforcer. This gentleman is a Stallion, and I believe we are joined on the phone by one Casey Carlisle. Is that true?
That is true. Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Welcome to the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate you taking out some of your time and speaking with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys giving me the time.
Well, first and foremost, congratulations with your victory last weekend over Maria Manic at Amsterdam in New York. You're in our neck of the woods last weekend.
I was, yeah. Why didn't I see you guys? What happened?
I feel like we dropped the ball now.
We dropped the ball. Work got in the way. Well, actually, we're a little bit further east. We're all the way stuck out there on Long Island. But
was it snowing, maybe? Was that why?
It was supposed to be snow. Okay. That was a week before.
That's my fault.
But talk to us about the show.
You know, that was my first time up there. It was for Dynasty up in Amsterdam, New York, as you said. And that was my first time wrestling for Dynasty. And it was really a fantastic night. I was really impressed with the way the company was run. It was... you know, you never know what you're walking into. That's the beauty that is independent wrestling. And you don't always necessarily know when you're working for a company for the first time what you're getting yourself into or what will prove to be true versus what they have told you to expect going into it. But I was absolutely impressed with it, and I had a great time. It was a really professional crew from the locker room to the management. And you know, as you said, I had a match that night with Maria Manic, and it was apparently her birthday, so she tried taking up a couple of minutes of our match time to celebrate her birthday, which I, of course, wasn't going to have any of at all. So after a little bit of an incident with a birthday cake that may or may not have gone flying through the air and into the crowd a little bit, you know, the match itself, it actually didn't last all that long, to be honest with you. It was just a matter of minutes, and I hit my case closed finisher on her, and that was that. 1, 2, 3.
Judging by your work, I take it you take great pride in playing the spoiler in a lot of these matches.
Well, clearly, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just me, but I am a very natural heel, which some people try to argue with, because I am also very professional and, you know, carry myself in a very professional manner and so forth. And meaning I'm easy to get along with and everything, but I am a very natural heel because I am an incredible smartass and incredibly sarcastic. And I love being the antagonist and I love being that girl. So you're absolutely right. Yes.
Do you feel like in today's wrestling industry, it is difficult to be like an actual real deal heel?
Um, I don't know that it's necessarily difficult to be. I think it's difficult to find people who want to be, who are willing to be, you know. And to be honest with you, to some extent, I could probably be lumped into that, although I do, as you say, revel in being the heel. I don't think it's a matter of being able to be, to an extent. There are some fans who don't care if you're there to be the baby face or you're there to be the heel. They're going to cheer who they want, and they're going to do what they want. So in that sense, it might be difficult. But when it comes down to it, I think that it's not so much able to be. I think it's, do you want to be? You know, I think a lot of the newer wrestlers who have gotten in the business within the past couple of years, and this is coming, you know, obviously I've been in the business for quite a while now, but I think that they find it hard to be willing to be that nasty, true heel who honestly is going to antagonize the fans and not really care if they truly like you or not. It's, you know, not about the merch sales and not about the followers online and stuff. And I think that people just nowadays don't necessarily want to be that true heel. I think that's what it boils down to.
Speaking of Dynasty Wrestling over the weekend, one of my favorite professional wrestlers on the planet right now, actually, Bobby Fish, made a huge surprise appearance over the weekend. And I know you said you don't know a lot of times what you're getting with independent wrestling, but I feel like the true, I should say, more reliable independent wrestling promotions have a lot of these surprises now. And I feel like that's because the talent pool is so vast. So I think having a guy like Bobby Fish or having a Tommy Dreamer at an event like that brings a lot of credibility. And, you know, for anybody on the card like yourself, that's going to bring a lot more eyes to the product.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know, obviously I can't speak for other people, excuse me, when it comes to the way that they conduct business or anything like that. But I know for me, from being a worker, you know, and somebody who's going to be part of that locker room, you know, it, whether people want to say it or not, there does come a time when the roster of the company who has contacted you to come in and work for them, it may play a part in your decision of whether or not you want to be part of this company. I mean, I think that everybody should always strive to surround themselves with who they consider to be, you know, good, solid workers, good, solid talent, professionals, you know, who really go about the business the right way, and aren't there just to have a place to roll around in the ring and so forth. And, you know, for the fans, it gives them the same thing. If fans are maybe new to professional wrestling, or maybe they've only watched, followed a certain promotion, or, you know, a certain wrestler, something like that, if they can see people who they may be familiar with booked on these cards, obviously that's going to be something that draws them in, and then they are then exposed to the rest of the card, and it just is a win-win situation for everybody when you have solid talent booked on a card. That's just a fact.
So when you started out in the business, you were you started out in a manager capacity, correct? And then you transitioned into an in-ring competitor?
Correct, I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was that transition like for you from going from, you know, manager at ringside and then kind of moving into a more in-ring regular match capacity? Was that difficult to do, or was it very easy by maybe watching some of the people that you managed in the ring and learning from them?
I don't want to say it was easy, because I don't want to discredit what it takes to be in the ring by any means. It wasn't easy necessarily, however, I did find it to be a smooth transition for myself personally. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think it's a combination of many factors. I was watching wrestling from the time I was 8. And when I say I was watching wrestling, I mean, I was freaking obsessed. It was all I cared about, you know, it's one of those not many things to change type of things. And I think when you get into the business and you've been watching it for that long and you have history, knowledge of knowing, you're not just learning from scratch what a hammerlock is or, you know, any moves or anything, you know, and you know kind of what it's supposed to, the end result's supposed to be. I have that under my belt. But working in the managerial capacity that I did for so many years before my first match, I absolutely learned so much. And I think it's really understated how much you can learn by being there at ringside. Not only in the locker room when it comes time to, you know, be privy to the process of making that match come to reality, but also just being there, you know, listening to the fans at ringside and seeing how the guys in the ring react to it and what they do with it and their timing, their pacing, everything. So I took all of that wrapped up in a bow with me, and I prolonged my own in-ring debut for quite a while because I truly believed and still do. I said to everybody, I am not going to disrespect this business by stepping in the ring before I think I can do so without completely, you know, cracking the ring. I don't want to disrespect the business and everyone who's been in it before me, because the business isn't going to go anywhere. And I still say that to this day. So when it did come time for my first match, you know, I was almost ill with nerves and I was terrified, of course, but I didn't feel unprepared. And I did feel like it was a very smooth transition because I wasn't fresh greenhorn right out of the gate. This is the first thing I'm doing. I had those years under my belt and I'd been a fan for so long, but you know, it was my comfort zone and it still is.
So you said you've been watching, you know, wrestling since you were 8 years old. So who were the wrestlers, whether it be, you know, male or female, that influenced you, you know, in terms of their character and in-ring style, you know, with your current character and in-ring style right now?
I was hugely influenced when I was younger by watching Sherri Martel, and I was watching her when she was wrestling. You know, a lot of people kind of sort of remember her more for managing, you know, DiBiase and Shawn Michaels and so forth. But I watched her as a wrestler before she got to that point. And we're talking, you know, mid to late 80s here. I was very heavily influenced by her. Her style, her persona, the way she carried herself. And that's why to this day, if I'm compared to her, I just am over the moon. I was influenced by Luna Vachon, you know, these nasty, like you were saying earlier about being a true heel. That's how I perceived these ladies when I was younger and I was a fan. You know, Judy Martin, and I loved the Jumping Bomb Angels. You know, they were these peppy baby faces, but they could work. And I recognized that even back then. I loved Ted DiBiase. You know, I always thought he was underrated, again, even just as a fan without even knowing the business. I was a fan of his work. I was a huge fan of Rick Rude's work. You know, just kind of, I wasn't always the mainstream, yay Hulk Hogan, yay Ultimate Warrior. I even as a fan, I appreciated, and Shawn Michaels as well, especially once he started his singles career. I just appreciated the guys who I felt like, I don't know what it was when I was that age before I was in the business. I don't know what it was that attracted. It was that it factor that everyone talks about. But those are the people who really stood out to me when I was, you know, young and still a fan.
Casey, you mentioned Shawn Michaels. And just before we go any further, I got to let you know that the battle line has been drawn down the middle between myself and Joe. He is team Shawn Michaels and I am team Bret Hart. So before we go any further, if you had to pick one, whose side are you on?
Oh, no. If I had known that, I never would have mentioned it because now I'm in the middle.
No, cat's out of the bag now. Now we got to know.
Crap. See, this is, I need these little heads up. God, that is so tough, guys, because I, you know, I hold them both in very high esteem. Wow, I'm quiet. I don't want to give you dead air, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, trying to give it some really quick, honest to God thought. You know,
no pressure. No pressure. I did not prepare you for a pressure situation, but
you have me stammering. you know, if I had to choose between the two of them, honestly, I think just by the teeny tiniest little eyelash of a hair, I would maybe have to give it to Bret. Just the tiniest little bit. As much as I was a huge Shawn Michaels fan, I don't know why I say that, to be honest. That's what my gut's saying.
You are now not only my favorite guest, but also my favorite wrestler ever. So I can sleep better tonight now knowing we have one more for Team Bret Hart and Joe is pacing around furiously, just so you know.
Well, I'm going to sleep better knowing this too, except for the Joe pacing. I'm scared to cross paths with him now. I might get blasted. Oh, the super kick is his revenge.
Oh, this is, yeah. He's preparing it right
Mike's
now.
Mike's going to get that after the show is over. Don't worry about it. He'll take it on.
You mentioned Luna Vachon, and I definitely see a lot of similarities in your style. Somebody else, you know, watching a lot of your matches, I notice in almost like a bully mentality in your tactics, in your wrestling, kind of reminded me almost of William Regal, like, and a lot of the UK guys, you know, now they have that, like the Pete Dunne, I don't know if you watch NXT or if you watch the WWE UK, that kind of style, the William Regal style. It's just it's a very realistic style. And I feel like a lot of heels today are missing that from their repertoire.
Thank you. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that, because I was just having a conversation with somebody about that recently. That's what I want. You know, I want people to watch my matches. Over the years, you know, I mean, let's be real. I get a ton of compliments about, you know, you're so beautiful and you're this and you're that. And that is so awesome. And I love it. You know, thank you. And I appreciate it. But the compliments about my work and my style blow all of those away, because I didn't get in the business I like it, but I got in the business because I grew up watching that 1980s, you know, wrestling style. And I was like, I'm going to do that one day, mom and dad and everybody willing to listen. I'm going to do that and be that. And that's what I always wanted to be. And that's what I've brought with me through the years. And that's my goal. I don't want my matches to necessarily be pretty. I don't want them to look completely flawless and everything's fluid. And people who have that style, that's great. It's not me, and it's not what I'm good at, and it's not what I try to do, because it wouldn't be authentic. And quite frankly, I think I would suck at it. I want the fans to walk away being like, damn, guys, like that girl's match, they were going at it. They were rough and tumble, and they were actually, we could hear the impact of those shots that they were taking. And so for you to give me that compliment, thank you so much, because that is me. I'm not in there to pitter patter around or make things look pretty or poetic or anything. I'm in there to be a badass old school ass kicker and, you know, get the job done. That's always my goal.
Yeah. I feel like today, like you said, a lot of people are worried about that perfectly timed spot and things like that, but in reality, in a shoot style environment, things aren't perfectly timed, and it's okay to not, you know, hit everything clean and stuff like that. And I think that's what adds a level of realism to the matches and, you know, yours, like you said.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and that's exactly what I want.
So back in 2012, you won the NWA Women's Championship, which obviously is a very prestigious championship. So what was that experience like for you, and how big of a career highlight is that for you, having that championship for over a year?
Oh, that was that always will be, is and always will be one of the big highlights when people ask me, you know, highlights of your career. And it's not to take away from any other titles I've held. Clearly, I am very proud of all of them, but the NWA Women's World title, I was honored, and I still am honored to have held it and to have held it for as long as I did. You know, it's one of those things where when the day, one day far, far away, hopefully comes when, you know, I have to hang up my boots and I'm done, I think it's going to hit me even harder. Like, holy crap. Wow. Yeah. I was the NWA champion. To grow up, and I know I keep going back to being that fan, but when I tell you guys that wrestling is the love of my life, and it's true, it's like all my life centers around, you know, to be that fan who was seeing NWA wrestling on TV back in the day, you know, and reading about it, it was the N freaking WA. And then for me now to not only be able to become a wrestler, but to actually hold that world title was a huge honor, and it's one that I'm so proud of. To look at the list of names who have held that title before me, and I'm listed with those ladies, and I was looking up to these women growing up and reading about them in magazines and in awe of these women wrestlers, and now I'm listed among them, and that to me is so humbling and such an honor. It's something that I will be proud of until the day I die.
Yeah, the NWA women's title, both men's and females, is a huge accomplishment and huge, you know, definitely a notch in the belt. Aside from the title, what other women have you shared the ring with? Matches you look back and you say, wow, you know, if I, you know, I have a new fan today, I want them to go back and watch this match, or I was in the ring with this person. Who are some of those people that stick out to you?
You know, I've had some pretty solid matches over the years. I mean, I've had some matches. Gosh, I'm trying to pull them real quickly. You know, I had a matchup in Staten Island with you guys might have seen it, with Jesse Brooks, that took place as part of the Valkyrie Championship. I was part of that match. You know, that to me was a match that kind of tested both of us in a sense. We had never wrestled each other before, and very much a feeling out process. And a lot of that was on the fly, which people would never know, I'm sure. You know, I'd say go back and watch that match. I would tell them to go back and watch some of my matches with Jessie Kay. You know, she and I have had some solid matches over the years, who now is, Kennedy Brank is her name now. You know, I'm proud of some of those matches. Mickey James and I have had a couple of solid matches that took place over the past 2 years, clearly before she went back to New York. But, you know, and, I mean, there's been, and I'm completely brain farting on a lot of them, but, you know, there's been some matches where I've walked away going, what in the hell just happened? And what was that? But, you know, there's a lot that I am proud of. So it's hard to pinpoint a couple of them. I've never seen the match where I won the world title. So I would like to see that match, and I would definitely like others to see that one as well. But other than that, you know, I've had a very lucky career where I've had a lot of good matches with a lot of different people, and it's hard to kind of go back through and pinpoint some of them.
Okay. Do you follow any other promotions right now? Like, are you big on the WWE, the NXT, the Ring of Honor, or not so much because, you kind of live in the business?
You know, to be honest with you, the past year or so, I really have not kept up with it the way that I once did, just because I haven't, So I do keep up with it as much as possible. I feel like it's one of those things, if you're a doctor, you're always up on what's happening in your field. And I feel like wrestling should be the same way. You know, so I'm familiar with it, but I am not somebody who is in front of the TV every week watching it. A lot of people are.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like I said, once you're immersed in that lifestyle, it's hard to dedicate an extra 412 hours of WWE weekly programming, you know, to the television.
That's the thing. There's so much going on with myself, you know, it's hard to kind of sit down and stop for a minute just to kind of watch. And then it reminds me, oh, I have to email this promoter back and all that. So yeah, it is hard to kind of carve out time.
Who are some people right now that, you know, you think, man, I would love to get in the ring with them? Is there somebody right now that you see either on the independent scene that or in the, you know, in the WWE that you see their style and you're like, man, I would have a great match with X? Who would that be?
Wow. You know, there's actually a lot of girls right now who I still haven't stepped in the ring with, and, you know, just haven't really had the chance to share the ring with yet. You know, there might be a chance for me to have a match with Penelope Ford coming up sometime soon. I've heard good things about her. You know, she's one of the girls on the indies. I cannot think of what her name is on NXT. Heidi, what is the name that they gave her now on NXT?
Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott, yes. I always thought for some reason that I would like to work her. I've seen several of her matches, and I thought it would be fun to click with her. And, you know, Ember, I never got the chance to tangle with her, who was Athena on the indies. And I always thought that would be a fun matchup. You know, that's some of them. I've wrestled Kimberly before, and she and I've always had fun wrestling her. I'd love to be in the ring with her again. You know, there's girls really all over the country who I hear so much about, and I just haven't had the chance to share a ring with them yet. You know, like girls out in California, like Nicole Savoy, I've known her for years. She used to live on the East Coast, and I have yet to share the ring with her. You know, there's just a really large number of women, actually, who, despite as long as I've been in the business, you just don't always cross paths with people, and there's a lot that I'd like to get in the ring with.
Well, the good news is you said you aren't leaving the business anytime soon. So I know your schedule, you know, if people keep up with you on the Twitter, on the Instagram, is always full. So tell me, where are we going to be able to see you in the coming weeks? What do you have planned? What do you have lined up? Where can we see Casey Carlisle?
Oh, boy. I actually have a fairly full schedule coming up. Most immediately, this coming Saturday, For the people in the area, I will be down in Norfolk, Virginia for VCW at the Masonic Temple this Saturday, April the 1st. And I will be wrestling, I'll be wrestling Kylie Rae. That's going to be a first time matchup as well. She's from Texas, but she's coming out for this match this weekend. After that, the following week, I'm in West Virginia and then Virginia again on Saturday. I'm going to be out in Indiana, Bourbon, Indiana, making my debut for Pro Wrestling King on April the 22nd. And then April the 29th, I'm going to be out in Port Orchard, Washington, making my debut for the Pacific Wrestling Federation. I might be adding a date in Canada that weekend as well, but that has not yet been confirmed. And after that, I'm in Virginia. I'm in the Carolinas. I'm going to, I believe, be going back down to South Carolina after that soon, Georgia again. I have a lot coming up, and everybody can always keep track of me both on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my website as well, which is CaseyCarlisle.com.
And what was the Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is at Casey Carlisle.
Well, that is fantastic. I got tired listening to the schedule you have coming up, so I have nothing but the utmost respect for the hours that you keep, the schedule that you keep. It's I unbelievable, and I think that's really good, especially for your fans. You know, the way it was, like I said, you grew up in the 80s, back in when there were the quote-unquote territories, you didn't get a chance to see your favorite wrestlers that much. But for somebody who keeps a schedule like that, and with the invention of the good old internets, it's definitely easy to keep up with your favorite wrestlers. So, Casey, we cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your very obviously busy schedule to come here, sit down with us in the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are going to keep up with you on Twitter, social media, and you know, definitely look forward to seeing whatever you have coming up in the future.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on and giving me the time. And please do keep up with me. And, you know, if a year down the line or something, we might have to do this again sometime. Never know.
Absolutely. We would love to hear from you again.
Great. Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank Enjoy. You, Casey.
Have a great night, guys. Take care.
That was independent superstar Casey Carlisle, who is almost a nomad. That schedule, I get tired like between the gym, work, and home. I cannot imagine traversing the United States. That's wild.
And, yeah, and wrestling physical matches every night for like 10 to 20 minutes or however long it is, right? I mean, it's like, you know, like you said, I get tired driving 35 minutes to work every day yeah. on Long Island and then right. sitting in a chair for most of it. These people are driving across states, right? And she's wrestling in the, you know, in ring matches or whatever kind of matches she's having, right? With all the stuff going on, taking all these bumps and who knows what else. So,
and then sitting in the car after you got beat up, like the entire way back, it is unbelievable.
Yeah. So it's a lot of respect for, you know, independent wrestlers, especially ones that keep the schedule like Casey does. That's crazy.
And with no signs of stopping. So, it was a fantastic chatting with Casey Carlisle. Well, that wraps up another edition here of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. As always, you guys can find us on Twitter at All Night Long WP, on Instagram at All Night Long WP, Facebook.com/All Night Long WP. There's a million different places. But I will tell you, if you're not following the Twitter, you are missing out on me live tweeting WrestleMania 17 and 20 the last 2 days. So who would want to miss that?
You know what you should do? You know, because what I'm going to do right now, actually, when we wrap up the show here in a minute, I'm going to go watch WrestleMania 12. That's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to watch a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Is that the bullshit one where the 60-minute Iron Man match went more than 60 minutes and it should have been a draw? And
it's called
champion?
Overtime.
It's not called overtime. It's a 60-minute Iron Man match. Yeah. It's a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah. There's a 60-minute game in hockey as well.
Yeah, but it's a 60-minute Iron Man match that ends in a draw.
I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
It doesn't end in a draw.
It does end in a draw. If it's a 60-minute Iron Man match, it goes 60 minutes, and then that's it. At the end, it's a tie.
The boyhood dream came true. That's all.
The boyhood dream is a bunch of bullshit. 60 minutes. I'm not going to go to a movie that's an hour and 15 minutes and expect an hour and 20-minute show.
There's always previews.
Yeah, but when the movie's over, the movie's over.
You need to make sure you need to loosen up a little bit.
I'm not going to loosen up. Casey Carlisle agrees with me. Bret Hart is the true stud of the 1990s in WWE.
She's tired from a very busy schedule.
She's tired from a very busy schedule, but she's still a very smart wrestling fan.
She's a smart wrestling fan. In this case, she just happens to be incorrect about Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Oh. Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.